Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, of children 13 to 22 years of age. And we have raised our children out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado for the last 20 years. And Steve Vaughn is also in studio with me, a homeschool father of six. Still taking interest in our children, still loving our kids, and hoping and praying that God, by His grace, would enable us to disciple them such that we would all meet in heaven someday and the circle will not be unbroken. That is my goal. And by God's grace, we believe that that's going to happen. But it's going to happen upon faithful service on the part of myself as a father. I have to give my children a proper education, and I want to give them certain protection in order to and preparation in order to be able to handle the world around them. Now, Steve, I'm going to go back to our most popular program ever. It was the most popular program. It became so popular. It went all around the world. It affected in South America, Europe, Asia. We have newspapers all around the world that covered this program because I mentioned that I had a bit of a problem with the Disney production Frozen. And wow, did we become popular all around the world on that one?
Yeah.
I took a position against unnatural relations with reindeer. And that was incredibly controversial.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised it was that controversial. You know, for a man to take a position against unnatural relations with reindeer and including a light reference to that in a children's film and to get the whole world all up in arms, including most Christians.
That's pretty good.
Surprised me.
Yeah.
That just surprised me. Now, I would expect jokes about unnatural relations with reindeer on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah, you could expect anything there.
Yeah. But with the little trolls in Frozen, for my 8-year-old daughter or my 6-year-old son, I still don't quite understand what is happening in the minds of hundreds of millions of parents around the globe. But here, not a month or two after I came out and said, I think there may be a problem here. Okay? I came out and said, I think there may be a problem here, and received more flack than I've ever received in all my life. Atlantic Magazine comes out just a couple of days ago with a large article on just this topic, admitting exactly what I accused them of.
Wow.
That's like, I knew it was going to happen, Steve. I told my wife, you just see, in a year or two, I will be vindicated. It was only a month.
Yeah.
So I was encouraged.
All right.
And here's the article. This is Atlantic Magazine, came out, a couple days ago. And here's the title. It's not just Frozen. Most Disney movies are pro-gay. The culture warriors have decided Disney's Frozen is queer. Elsa hiding her ice powers could be read as a metaphor for the closet. The Oscar-winning Let It Go plays like a coming-out anthem, and a character in the film evokes the question of whether homosexuality is a choice by inquiring of Elsa's powers, born with it or cursed. Some liberals have praised the film for its subtext. Some conservative have denounced it. Now, if you click on the word denounce, it goes directly to a Newsweek article referring to myself.
All right.
Or the Daily Beast article. But here it goes on. But the most remarkable thing about queer readings of the film may be how unremarkable they really are. Through both its corporate practices and the content of its films, Disney, for decades, has implemented the so-called gay agenda, which is to say, helping make the world a more accepting place. Which is what Atlantic and Newsweek and Time and everybody's all about anyway.
Yeah,
so I don't know why these Christians don't say, yeah, it's about gay. It's about homosexuality. Yes, Disney is about homosexuality. They've been that way since 1991. This is the biggest no-brainer anybody has ever talked about. Ever, and it happened to be some little guy in the Emperor's New Clothes procession who stands up and says, I think the dude's nude, and it comes from this radio program in my basement out on the eastern plains of Colorado. Okay, to start in the most obvious place, this again, Atlantic Magazine, a couple days ago. As a business, Disney has long held a progressive attitude towards LGBT people. Gay pride events have been hosted at Disney World since 1991. What is that, 24 years ago? The company started offering its gay employees health insurance benefits for their partners since 1995, a decision that wasn't entirely popular back then. They have been on the front lines, on the very, very, very front line, on the very edge of the battle for bringing homosexuality into the marketplace of ideas and into every family in America as a norm. Okay? Disney has been there. One of the most poignant examples of the company's tolerant atmosphere, in the case of lyricist Howard Ashman, wrote songs for Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. He's also closely involved in those films' productions, casting actors, and holding story meetings with animators. And, of course, the point I've made again and again is symbols mean stuff. Symbols mean stuff. Don't be an idiot. Symbols mean stuff. Symbols mean stuff. He goes on and on. He gets many, 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 many examples. I'll just throw in one of them here. Another obvious example, Mulan, where the protagonist disguises herself as a male soldier. When the soldiers later dress themselves as courtesans as they sneak into the palace, the film completes the theme of gender as performance, with women pretending to be men, men pretending to be women. Mulan's I Want song also plays like an anthem for kids born into the wrong gendered body. Quote, when will my reflection show who I am inside? And intriguingly, the film insinuates that her male captain fell in love with her while she was masquerading as a man.
Okay.
So, there it is. Okay. So, yeah, why are people so mad at me?
Yeah, I don't know. Atlantic is a nice paragon of Christian...
Yeah. No.
No,
they're not.
Okay.
They're not. They I would say they're not super left either.
Okay.
I would say Atlantic Magazine's not super left. That is like Huffington Post.
Yeah.
Is super left.
Yeah. So
Atlantic Magazine is pretty much America.
Okay. Today. So are they going to get killed on this?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say everybody's going to say, yeah, it's all about homosexuality. Yeah. We want our kids to be homosexuals. Okay. Get over it. You Christians. And the Christians are pretending that they're not doing it. Stop pretending. Come on, guys. Stop pretending. Just say that's what they're doing and be done with it. Now you can agree with it or not agree with it. But at least tell the truth. Yeah.
Acknowledge that that's what it is.
That's what they're doing. They say they're doing it. So say, okay, that's what they're doing. That's their agenda. And again, I think every Christian parent ought to be discerning. I'm not telling people what movies to watch and what movies not to watch. Very careful on the program not to do that. All I'm saying is be discerning. Be discerning. That's what we're saying. Be discerning. Ask the basic questions. What's the metaphysic? Is the fear of God the beginning of knowledge in Mulan or Frozen? Is the fear of God the beginning of knowledge and wisdom? Is God in the metaphysic? And for the most part, the existence of God is not recognized in Disney films. And Steve, I guess we're just saying be discerning. So in just a moment, we're going to talk about more Christians who are not discerning. What in the world is happening with Christian contemporary music? Jars of Clay? Amy Grant? What in the world is happening with CCM? I'll be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. Steve Vaughn's also here.
How's that commercial coming along?
We're about ready to record it right now.
Okay, so how's it go again?
Let's see. It's Whole Family's Welcome, and there's Sing Sing Something Something, 94 Talks, lots of vendors, Sing Sing, Talk 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 Sing, and then the big finish, Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family.
Wow. Let's hear it.
All right, quiet on the set. Here we go.
Whole Family's Welcome, Sing Sing Something Something, 94 Talks and lots of vendors, Sing Sing Talk 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 Sing.
All right, here's the big finish.
Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family.
Wow, it's just like you said.
Hey, glad you liked it.
When is it?
June 12th through 14th.
And where do you go to sign up?
It says check.org. That's chec.org.
Thanks. I think I'm going to go sign up.
Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, also Steve Vaughn in studio with us. And Steve, wow, a shocker from Jars of Clay. This came out just a couple of days ago when Dan Hasseltine, the frontman for the popular Christian band, came out and said, hey, I'm pro-gay marriage.
Or at least accepts it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so he may not be pushing it, but he is okay with it, according to his Twitter.
It's a shock because, you know, this is the neuronic agenda. Granted, homosexuality was very strong for 600 years amongst the Greeks and the Romans, but homosexual marriage, not so much. They did not accept it. The pagans would not accept it. Nero accepted it, the worst man who ever lived. He accepted it. He thought it was a good idea, but over 2,000 years of church history, there have been no Christians who've accepted homosexuality or homosexual marriage until the last 10 years. So this has been really interesting. And Steve, you know, to think that Christians are so impressed with Nero today.
Yeah.
And what Nero tried to do when he tried to marry these young men.
Yeah, it's kind of like Obama being real impressed with Margaret Sanger, who wanted to get rid of the Negro race.
Yeah. It's sort of a shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would happen with Christians today. But obviously, anything that's politically correct, anytime the zeitgeist is out there blowing very hard, the spirit of the age blows very, very hard with these men. They have a hard time resisting it. And if the spirit of the age is moving the wrong direction, many, many Christians jump on board. Now, this is an article from charisma.com referring to what happened with Dan Heseltine when he came out on Twitter. And he said, this is what Dan said, "I'm trying to make sense of the conservative argument, but it doesn't hold up to basic scrutiny. Feels akin to women's suffrage." Yeah, right. Women's suffrage. Oh, there's a good one. "Is the argument born of isolated application of scripture, or is it combined with the knowledge born of friendship with someone who is gay?" You know, again, the epistemological authority for this man is not the word of God. The epistemological authority is the friend who is gay. And being part of this system where you run into people who all understand that this is a socially accepted ethic in the 21st century. In the postmodern age of relativism, this is what people accept, at least for the time being, until they accept cannibalism after that, and then they accept child molestation after that, and then they accept whatever. They won't call it child molestation, by the way. They'll call it child love.
Yeah.
They'll call it man-boy love.
Yeah, well, they've already got an organization for
that.
Yeah,
they do. They got it all set up. So it's just that these people are so nice. They're nice people. And they're socially accepted. So why in the world doesn't Paul accept them? I've just finished a 2,000-year study on what the Christian church said about homosexuality. And it turns out that, yeah, the Christian church has been opposed to homosexuality over 2,000 years, but they also did their best to find ways in which to bring these people to repentance. They used to call it penance, but it was a programmed approach to repentance. I don't particularly like a programmed approach to repentance, but they said, hey, repentance is essential. Repentance is essential for people who want to be part of the kingdom of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we see the same thing. Yet it's homosexuality is mentioned by the Apostle Paul. And then Paul says, but such were some of you, past tense, such were some of you, but you've been cleansed. So the cleansing, the changing, the shifting around is critical for those who are part of the Christian church. And this is something that Dan Heseltine does not want to face.
Yeah, and you take a look at other people in the Christian music industry, like Dennis Jernigan, who was cleansed. He, he was a homosexual at one time. He's now married. Writes some of the better Christian music of the day for churches to use. He has worship CDs out there. Great musician.
Okay, so I want to talk about the CCM thing. Jernigan is probably not the number one musician in the CCM market today.
No.
But Amy Grant is.
Yes.
And oh, by the way, Jars of Clay is somewhere around the 12th position as far as number one albums are concerned. They have sold some 6 million albums, which is more than the downloads we have achieved to this point on this program.
So we're going to get there.
We're going to get there someday. Yeah. By the way, before I get to Amy Grant, here from charisma.com, this is Michael Brown, and he's concerned. He says, this is the day of full-blown incestuous relationships on popular TV shows like Game of Thrones, of other shows glorifying polyamory, polygamy from The Big Love to Sister Wives to My Wife, Five Wives, and teen pregnancy, of news reports about the wedding of three lesbians. You know, these are crazy things that are happening all the time now. And how in the world is Dan Heseltine going to look at these non-traditional marriages, as in three lesbians? I don't think I even want to talk about what happens with that. See, Steve, we're moving into some of the most outrageous forms of sexuality and quote-unquote marriage the world has ever seen.
Yeah.
And Dan Heseltine is out there in the front encouraging Christians to accept this kind of thing. And Amy Grant is right behind him. Here's the example where she is being interviewed by Pride Source. Now, if you ever get a chance to be interviewed by Pride Source, Okay, I want to distinguish between two things. When we talk about homosexual pride or gay pride, yeah. we're talking about, number one, licentiousness, and number two, or lust, and number two, pride. It turns out the world is defined as the lust of the eyes, lust of pride, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. So lust and pride. You put homosexual together with the word pride, and what do you get? The world. Okay? So now it turns out the spirit, the fruits of the spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is just the opposite of the fruits of the flesh. So Steve, if you ever get interviewed by somebody who promotes gay pride, you're talking to people who are all about the works of the flesh. You see, this is not rocket science. This is not like seminary level theology here, Amy Grant.
Yeah. And Hasseltine.
And Hasseltine. This yeah. is, you get interviewed by Pride Source. Okay. You're interviewed by the world, by the flesh. And if you're kowtowing to them, you're just simply saying, I'm all about the flesh here. I'm all about the world. I'm not about the fruits of the spirit. If you are about gay pride, you're not about the fruits of the spirit.
Yeah, this is not deeper life here. This is not where you finally have reached the pinnacle or the depths of Christianity, and then you realize that everything that the Bible has said about homosexuality is, maybe it's not right.
So Amy Grant is interviewed by Pride Source, and she was even asked to perform a wedding of one of her gay fans, though had declined for scheduling reasons. That, according to the article, for scheduling reasons.
Yeah.
And this is a quote. I was honored to be invited. I was wow. honored to be invited. Meaning what? Meaning I like gay weddings.
Yeah.
Isn't that what she's saying?
Essentially.
I have to tell you, anytime somebody asks me to perform at a wedding, I say I do not have a good track record. A lot of weddings I performed at, the marriages have ended poorly.
I wonder if she sang at her own.
Could be. Maybe it's she's talking about her own wedding.
Yeah, could be.
Because at least one of them didn't turn out very well.
Yeah.
And we can talk about the breakdown of CCM in the area of marriage. And maybe that's what's leading to homosexual marriage as well. But Steve, I mean, this is a woman that is certainly not opposing homosexual marriage. It appears that she is endorsing it. It says here she's raised in a conservative Christian home. She didn't have much exposure to LGBT people until she went out on tour and met LGBT fans. She described how her views on LGBT people have changed. Quote, I have had so many occasions in my life where I felt really strongly about something, but that feeling has changed. Meaning that I used to be conservative. Now I'm not anymore.
I used to have strong feelings about the Bible.
Yes.
And no longer do.
I used to feel very strongly about the truth of Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6, perhaps even Leviticus 20. But not anymore. And that's the thing I'm getting here. She also acknowledged that the Christian church has not had a good track record of LGBT inclusion. And that is true.
Yeah.
Over 2,000 years. But not in the sense that the Christian church wasn't interested in re-inclusion of these people in the church. And believe me, Steve, I've spent the last 3 weeks studying 2,000 years of what the church fathers said about it, what the Irish church said about it, what the Roman church said about it, what the reformers said about it. And what you find in church history, we got the greatest minds, the greatest Christians, the people who are martyred for their faith over the first 300 to 400 years of the Christian church, okay, versus Amy.
I wonder who is higher in there.
Yeah. Versus Amy. Who's Amy? Versus Dan Hassel something or other.
Yeah.
And who's Dan Hassel somebody? Who's he?
Yeah.
Up against the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 6, Romans 1. Up against Chrysostom, Augustine, Justin Martyr,
Moses,
Cyprian. Martin and Luther, John Calvin, John Knox. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And finally, you come to the pinnacle of the apostasy of the Western world, and you run into Amy, who is being interviewed by Pride Source. And you're thinking to yourself, I wonder whose position I should take.
Yeah.
should I stay on the side of Moses, the Apostle Paul, the 2,000 years of Christian leaders in the Christian church? Or should I go with Dan Hasseltine? or Amy, what's her name?
Yeah. I think the choice is pretty clear.
Steve, you talked about Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis Jernigan.
Coming out of the homosexual lifestyle. And thank God there are some who have been washed, who have been cleansed. But so much of the CCM's going the other direction right now. And this is, of course, representative of what's happening in evangelical Christianity. I think we all need to step back and look at what's happening. Yes. And those who take a strong position, the historical position, the biblical position, are going to be very much marginalized and perhaps even persecuted. Yes, yeah. That may very well be the case. And they will be very unpopular. They will not receive a lot of downloads on their YouTube accounts.
Okay? Yeah.
It won't happen. But meantime, Ray Bolts comes out of the closet, confesses he's gay. Now, Ray Bolts was a big, big guy. I used to play this guy's stuff when I was doing CCM back in the 1980s. I can remember Ray Bolts.
Oh, yeah.
He was singing stuff like Watch the Lamb, The Anchor Holds, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. For 20 years, he was a staple for the CCM industry, earning several certified gold albums, 3 Dove Awards, and 12 number one hits. This guy was a big shot. Recently, he just came out of the closet. He was married for 33 years, raised 4 kids, but in 2004 dropped the bombshell on his family. Poor family.
Wow.
Says, I'm leaving it all. I'm pulling the hand grenade, rolling it into the family. I'm done.
So is he still making albums for CCM?
Yeah, still doing albums. Yeah, wow. I did an album recently called True. I wish you knew something about the truth.
Yeah.
But there's something very, very wrong, very, very wrong with modern evangelicalism. Very, very wrong. And what is it? Ultimately, here's the deal. These guys are denying the possibility of truth. See, the fact is, all this homosexual stuff aside, forget the Jars of Clay, Dan Hasseltine, and everything he's saying about homosexual marriage. That's not the issue. You know what the issue is? The issue is the Word of God will be defined with the knowledge born of friendship with someone who is gay. That's the epistemological basis by which we are going to reinterpret the Word of God. Our hermeneutic in the postmodern age is set by relativism. If Dan Hasseltine was very honest, he should just step out and say, I don't believe there's a possibility of absolute truth. And that's the epistemology I'm using to reinterpret Scripture and reinterpret it and reinterpret it and reinterpret it, because there is no truth in postmodern relativism. This guy should just step out and say, there's no possibility of truth. I am a postmodern. I am a relativist. A lot of the young men that come through our churches today, Steve, are young men who are trying on new t-shirts all the time.
Yeah.
You follow me? They're trying on. They got to collect 45 t-shirts before they die. They move through every new movement. They're attracted to every new little piece of information that's coming out through the internet, and they're visiting 1,700 websites in any given 3 days, and they're coming up with new truths all the time, and there is no ultimate truth where they are rooting themselves in Scripture as the absolute truth. It's not defining their epistemological framework, their worldview. Dan Hasseltine needs to repent. Number one, of the fact that he himself, at bottom, has jettisoned the possibility of absolute truth. Now, because of that, in the debate, we need to come back and say, yeah, but you seem to be very opinionated about things for somebody who has jettisoned absolute truth. Suddenly, you're very, very opinionated, at least for the time being, at least for the next 10 minutes, at least for the next 3 years, at least as long as homosexual marriage is going to be very, very popular, until everybody dies out, and then we move on to a new social system in the year 2100, and then he moves on to another truth, and then another truth, and another truth. He needs to admit that he does not have a standard for absolute truth, therefore he doesn't belong in the debate at all. Right. Somebody who says, I've given up on relativism, he's given up on the possibility of truth for any given word he has used in the last sentence. Every word he's used in the last sentence. He was assuming he had some truth value or some meaning attached to that word, but there is no meaning attached to any individual word he uses. He has no right to an opinion. He has no right to be in a debate. He has no right to say anything. He has no right to think anything. He needs to shut up right now and be self-consistent with his postmodern relativism, which is the ultimate epistemology he uses to establish the hermeneutic whereby he twists Scripture again and again and again and again. It's the same problem with Matthew Vines, who's come out with his new book with Multnomah Press,
right,
or at least one of the affiliates of Multnomah Press, to tell us all that for the first time in all of human history, Matt Vine has the right to reinterpret the Word of God in a brand new way, to stand against all 2,000 years of Christian leaders. Now, who are you going to go with? The postmodern relativist Matt Vines in his relativistic approach to reinterpreting Scripture any way he wants to? Or are you going to go with the Word of God as the standard for truth? And are you going to root yourself in that truth and let those roots go very, very deep? We were talking about this with the men in our Shepherd Center. I'm very concerned about all of them, too. I'm concerned about every single young man growing up right now in the 21st century, every single one of them, because already I'm seeing a lot of them flake out. They're flaking. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. A lot of our young men will flake. Why? Because they're postmodern relativists. Because they just click on every new website, and they take new opinions every 10 seconds. And then they go on to the next opinion, and then the next opinion, and they're like dust in the driveway. They're not like the oak trees that are sending their roots down into Scripture, way, way, way down into Scripture, and believing those things and meditating on those things day and night.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's frightening in a sense, because you take a look at these young men and these young women, and when they're taking these types of views, you wonder where we're going.
You do. You do. Well, Steve, there's something wrong with contemporary Christian music.
Oh, yeah.
And a guy named Steve Camp came out with 107 theses about, what, 13 years ago?
Yeah, 1997.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. 17 years ago. And there's something very, very wrong with contemporary Christian music. And I think we need to get back to what guys like Keith Green and Steve Camp were saying.
Yeah.
Because there's something very flaky about CCM. Now, I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater here. I'm not saying all CCM is bad. Okay, now some people will go right to that point, but I don't think it's fair to do that. We have to arrive at biblical conclusions. Steve Camp really worked hard to establish 107 theses about Christian music. And he says here, he says, I wrote songs early on in my musical journey that neither represented good music or precise theology. My motives were vitiated. My actions were not godly. My lips were unclean. Now, he sent this to all of the Christian music industry, sent them to all the radio stations, sent it off to all the
Christian artists, I think, yeah.
And he was not received well.
No, he wasn't played ever again on radio, or at least for a long time.
He says here, in the past several years, there has been a non-so-subtle drifting away from Christocentric music to an anthropocentric music, that is a man-centered approach. Contemporary Christian music originally began unashamedly declaring Jesus Christ as Lord. Within a few years, his name was replaced by several generic titles, filtering out the name of God ultimately to the non-specific cognomen. And he goes on and on and on. But he's got a lot of very good theses here, Steve, that I think really need to be emphasized. Do all to the glory of God. All our works, both musical and written, must produce a high view of God, with our chief aim being to glorify God, worship Him forever. This means we are to represent God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So much of the Christian music industry, Steve, does not really focus in on the glory of God, and he makes that point very, very strongly. I would say there's not a lot of fear of God in American Christian music today. Christian music also, he says, originally called Jesus music, once fearlessly saying clearly about the gospel, now it yodels of a Christless, watered-down, pablum-based, positive alternative, aura, fluff, cream of wheat, mush kind of syrupy, God is my girlfriend kind of thing.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder they didn't like
him. No wonder they didn't like him. Yeah. The sound theology sung out of the beauty of holiness, but lacking in heartfelt worship to Christ, leads to pride or self-glory and the chastisement of the Father. And how much pride, how much glory. You know, I interacted with a lot of the CCM guys back when I was in the CCM business doing disc jockey work on the Central Coast in California. And I will tell you, there was a lot of divorce. There was a lot of hanky-panky. There was a lot of shallowness. These guys were not the most mature Christians, if they were Christians at all. The people that I interacted with, very sad, Steve. Very, very, very sad.
Yeah.
Are these people the leaders? I'm thinking to myself, who are they leading? This is not good. Now, I'm looking at their personal lives and their interactions with others. Pride, huge. They love the accolades. They love the, they just really warm up to all that pop pride that's just endemic in the City of Man, in the way that the City of Man operates with the star system. This really came in strong with the CCM people. They love the star system. They want the star system. Now, not all of them, but this is what I saw as I interacted with many of these CCM stars.
Yeah, and one of the things that I had read about as well during, you know, way back at this time, that it was easier to get in with Christian labels than it was with secular labels. And so a band would label themselves as Christian. They would bring, you know, they would have some pablum-based cream of wheat kind of Christian lyrics. And then they, is if their music was any good, according to the world, then they could get a Christian label, and that would be what would boost them into the famous labels, and they could get out of the Christian label into the secular labels and do what they really wanted to do.
And Steve, I have to tell you, I lost count on all the divorces that happened among CCM stars. Not all of them. All of them. But I lost count because there were so many of them that got divorces. He says, a powerful doctrine sung in glory to Christ with an impure life is noise to the ears of our holy God. Submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the obedience to the Word of God are marks of the worthy walk of faith. However, when biblical standards are dishonored, unrepentant sin persists, we must adhere to the instruction of the Word. Stop the music until the life is right. Wow, that's powerful stuff. Probably wasn't that popular. In fact, he only got one more album out, and he was a nobody a couple of years, year or two after publishing this article. By the way, the Keith Green also had something similar happen to him towards the end of his career, before he lost his life in that plane wreck in the early 1980s. He began to see the star system's no good. He began to address, you know, the audience with some hardcore, hey, we got to repent of our sins, turn to Jesus Christ in true faith. We need to fear the true and living God. This kind of stuff was happening in those concerts. And he would not charge for the concerts. He wouldn't charge for the albums. And he turned it towards ministry. He turned it away from business towards ministry, because he said, if it's ministry, it's ministry. It's a business, it's business. Let's decide what we're doing here. And Keith Green, I think, was an excellent example of somebody who set a right trajectory in his music towards the end of his career. Music and culture is all about trajectory. It's all about where we're headed. Steve Camp tried to head a good direction. Steve Green tried to head a good direction with his music. But in general, the business tends to move in the wrong direction. And I caution people about music and culture. What's the trajectory? What's the trajectory? What's the trajectory? The trajectory set by Jars of Clay, Amy Grant, and others, according to the recent articles we've read, are not good trajectories, friends. Trajectory matters. I got a new book coming out called The Tattooed Jesus, about culture, about all of this. It's coming out soon. It's going to be a barn burner, because not everybody's going to like it, but it's going to lay out what makes for good art, good culture, good music, and trajectory is essential. The trajectory set by our modern system's not good, my friends, and I also deal with this somewhat in the last section of my book, Apostate, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Get my book, Apostate. Find out about how apostasy manifests itself in culture in the last section of the book. You got to awaken to what's happening, friends. Are your children and your grandchildren apostatizing from the faith like Amy Grant, or like Jars of Clay, Dan Hasseltine? Is that happening in the life of your children and your grandchildren tuning into CCM? Is that happening right now? You need to find out how culture represents the apostasy of the day in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.